Hallelujah. How many have been fighting the devil? I had a friend years ago, he told a story about when he pastored. And every Sunday night they had testimonial. Children can go to children's church. If I don't, I'll have a black eye on this side next week. Why is it everybody blamed Linda for my eye condition? He was telling the story. He had a gentleman in his church. They had testimony service every Sunday night. And every Sunday night, this old brother get up and he'd tell how the devil rode on him all week long. And finally, the pastor, he got fed up with it. He said, "Brother, if you take that saddle off your back, it wouldn't be so easy for the devil to ride." We are in a battle, aren't we? And I've been preaching 3 sermons already on dressed for battle. And today I want to preach about being equipped. The text is Ephesians 6:10 through 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Remember, that is the charge. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, sit down and quit. I just wanted to see how many following. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I've told you 3 times now, Paul is talking about another way to look at the believer's life. We like to see that believer's life as peachy keen hunky dory. "I'm in church praising the Lord all the time." I know better than that. Not all of you make it every Sunday. How many has been there? How many this past year has been to 52 Sunday mornings? Huh? I've been 52. About to add another one, 53. Go to church when you don't. How many go to church when you don't go to church? Amen. Have church at home. Wherever you're at, in the airplane, on the train. But our life, Paul says, is like a battle. We, the believer's life, is a battlefield. We are combatants, a soldier in conflict, dealing with the devil. In the first part, identified the fact that we are in a spiritual war and committed to the soldier's battle by taking the soldier's charge. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the second sermon, I identified who the enemy was. The devil, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. In lesson 3, we identified the strategies of the devil, the wiles of the devil. They were lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Today we're going to take a look at the gear you need to go into battle with. How many know when you go to war you have to take a weapon? How many know you better be prepared to protect yourself? I read the story just this week about a man who was about to be executed, and they asked him for his last words, "What's your last request?" And he said, "I want those vests they put on to keep you from being shot? Bulletproof vests." He was about to be shot. He wanted a bulletproof vest. Smart guy. What do you need to go to battle? Living for 2 years, Paul lived with the Romans. And every day he was chained to a Roman soldier. He was under house guard in Rome. So he became very acquainted with the soldiers and their equipment. Back in Jerusalem, where he preached before he became a prisoner of Rome, they would see Roman soldiers on the street and what have you, but now Paul was elbow to elbow with these Roman soldiers every day. And so he got to thinking about this. It made an impression upon him, and he's thinking about spiritual matters. And so he says, right. God inspired him with this analogy and began to form this in Paul's mind. Just as the Roman soldier is required physical armor to fight wars, he said, we Christians, we need to have armor to fight the spiritual battles of life. And so he made this analogy, and he looked at each piece of equipment the Roman soldiers wore as they came into his room for the day to guard him. And he made this correlation, and he wrote it down and sent this letter to the Ephesian Christians. And, well, it's been preserved 2,000 years for us to take a look at it now today. Brother Brian, where are you back here? Somebody flip that air off back. Anybody getting chilly? All right. Yeah, Mike. Just flip it all off. I'll sweat. Make everybody comfortable. So Paul begins to describe to you and I that we're in this battle. We have to deal with it. We know who we're fighting. We've taken the charge to be a spiritual soldier. And we know how he fights against us, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And now Paul is saying, I'm going to give you the equipment you need to be able to go to battle. And he describes each piece. He calls it armor, spiritual armor. He describes the battle gear as armor of God. Not our armor, but God's armor. And describes each and every piece. The first piece, Paul says, is the belt of truth. The belt, known as the cingulum or the buttress, played a crucial role in the effectiveness of the soldier's armor. You see, it was on the belt that the scabbard was. That scabbard was where he carried his sword. And if the soldier went to battle, he was in a hurry, and he forgot his belt, that meant he forgot his sword as well. He didn't have his weapon with him. Besides, in Nelson's Study Bible, it describes this belt with hanging with strips of leather to protect the lower body. And even Matthew Henry commentary says the belt girds on or secures all the other pieces of armor. So it is a foundational part of the armor of God. And Paul says, that foundational piece that carries the sword of God to go to battle is none other than truth. What is the truth the Christian is to put on? Well, I believe I heard somebody by the name of Jesus say, "I am the way, the..." What is it? "The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And I had some friends on Facebook recently. They were quoting this religious man out of the Himalayas. What's his name? Oh, you don't know either. He's that guy that runs around with a big pigtail hanging down his back, and he's got robes on. I've seen him a time or two in my travels. Dalai Lama. I knew somebody would know who he is. They were quoting the Dalai Lama. They were quoting Buddha. They were quoting some of these other great religious leaders. And I wrote back to them. I said, "Jesus is the truth. Don't be giving me this stuff from all of these other dudes. I want to hear about Jesus and what Jesus has to say." The believer is to put on Christ. Amen. If we don't have Christ on, friend, we don't have the truth. And the truth is the essential part of our equipment to fight the devil. You can't fight the devil with what Buddha says. The devil can laugh at you. You can't fight Satan by what Mohammed says. It is Jesus who is the truth. And He is the one that has the words to speak, the power to condemn and overcome the devil. The other part of truth is the Word of God. The writer said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen? Thy word. What is the word of God? That's this in here. I don't care what translation you might have. I like the New King James Version. But it is the word of God. This is His. And this is truth. Don't be quoting me what some guy from Texas in a big sports stadium is saying. Don't be quoting to me what Copeland is saying. I could care less, really. Quote to me what this book says. Amen. Give me what the Word of God says. This is where the truth is. The other ones might have good things to say, but let me tell you, this is where it's based. It has to be based here. Amen? In the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And that's the way we're going to be able to put on the armor of God, the foundation, stand for what is true and right. What does truth do for the believer in battle? It keeps one from being tossed to and fro by the devil. That in Ephesians, Paul said, "Therefore we henceforth be no more children, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." I've seen too many Christians down through the years hanging on on what somebody else said rather than what the Word of God says. I remember a few years ago when Full Gospel Businessmen was big in the area, and I was a member of it. I went to their meetings regularly, had a lot of good friends in there, and enjoyed much of what the Word says. But you remember some years ago, some fella figured out when the Lord was coming. He did all this mathematical equation, and he figured it out down to the very day. And two of my friends in Full Gospel Businessmen said, they were buying these books and handing them out. They wanted to give me one. I said, I've got it already. Amen. That book is a lie. You what? You said he tells. I said, that's it. Amen. Turned out to be that day came and went. Those two fellows are both dead. I hope they're in heaven. But they were ready to believe something else. When this book says no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes, that settles it right there. But you see, they're tossed to and fro. Let so and so come through town. God's man of the hour. Let him come to town. Oh, bless God, we'll bow down, we'll shout. He blows on us, we'll fall down. He passes by and his shadow comes on us. Woo! Lord have mercy. We're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and everything that comes down the pike. Get based on the truth. And that way when the other stuff comes down the pike, you know where you stand. Amen? Amen. Secondly, it keeps one from being entangled with the affairs of life. The Apostle Paul said to the young preacher Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that we may please Him. Hallelujah! Who enlisted us as a soldier. Who signed you up for the army of the Lord? Jesus did. Amen. I'm telling you what, I get these people every now and then. They have a little scuffle with the devil and they come in. I said, grow up. Stand like a man. Fight the good fight. What are you doing entangled in all of your stuff and what you're all about? Get entangled in the Word of God. Get hidden in the things of Christ and endure the hardness, the battle as a man or woman of God, ready to fight the devil to the very end. Paul said in Hebrews, it supports one of the battles and trials of life. Listen to what he said. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I want you to know there in the wilderness, Jesus faced the full brunt of the lust of the flesh. He faced the full brunt of the lust of the eyes. He faced the full brunt of the pride of life. He took it on the head first. He understands what we go through when we're in these battles and when the devil comes at us and he tells us, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Hallelujah. You can make it. Stand fast in the faith.
Glory.
Second item is the breastplate of righteousness. What purpose does a breastplate serve? The breastplate was a central part of the Roman soldier's armor. It provided protection for the torso, which contains the heart, the lungs, the liver, the main organs of the body the breastplate covers. And without a breastplate, a soldier would be asking for certain death. And as attacked would come, it would be instantly fatal. With a sturdy breastplate, though, the very same attacks become ineffective and useless as blows glance off the armor. Oh, hallelujah! Righteousness has to be a part of our protective gear. You can't be going around living any old way you please. Amen. You can't be playing with the devil on one hand and then fighting the devil on the other. It's like the old lady used to sing a song, you can't be a preacher on the fence, you got to get on one side or the other. You can't be a Christian on the fence. You can't be serving the devil and God at the same time. You can't be playing tiddlywinks with the world and serving God at the same time. You can't be coming to church on a Sunday morning and acting like the devil all week long. Amen? You've got to be righteous. Proverbs, the writer said, riches do profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Oh, hallelujah. Without righteousness, we leave ourselves open to almost certain death. With righteousness, just as with the breastplate, the otherwise fatal attacks of our enemy are taken away, thwarted. Amen. What is righteousness? Psalm 119, 172 said, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Living by the word, that's righteousness. Doing what is right in the eyes of God. When I was a teenager, a little dab would do you. Now you know what I'm talking about, some of you. I had a full head of hair, believe it or not, thick and black. And in the morning, I'd get the Brill cream, put it on my hands and rub it in. It would be slick and shiny, and I'd comb it up in a big wave and ducktail in the back. Open my collar and walk down the halls of Jane Buchanan. I'm it, brother. Where was I going with that? A little dab will do you. We think a little dab of religion will do us. A little dab of righteousness won't get the job done. You've got to be covered with righteousness. You've got to be righteous in the morning, righteous at noontime, righteous at supper time. Amen. Righteous on the job. Righteous in the grocery store. Righteous when you're sitting behind somebody at the red light. Amen. Righteous in the morning, righteous in the evening, righteousness all day long, 7 days a week. A little dab on a Sunday morning won't cut it. Amen. The devil's watching. He knows exactly what you're up to. Like the preacher was preaching one time, he got on tobacco, and where the men in the church hid their tobacco. They hide it in the barn under the milk parlor. They hide it, you know, in the haystack. So when they go to the barn, the wife don't know it, they can chew a little bit or what have you. And one fellow went out and he said to the others, boy, I said, I thought he was going to get me, mine's in the feed chest. Because the preacher didn't point it out, the feed chest, he was all right. But the devil knows. Amen. He knows what you're doing 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He's watching. He's got his imp station looking you over. And when you are playing around with the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, when you play with it a little bit like Samson did with Delilah, guess what? He's going to move in. John, 1 John 3 and 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. I can do it and get by with it. No, you can't. Sin opens you to the attacks of the devil, but he cannot penetrate righteous living. Amen. He can't get through. Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that you will not hear." God will not hear when you're playing with the devil, you're playing with the world. Third item is shoes. Preparation of the gospel of peace. What purpose does shoes serve? Take them off. Go out here and walk in the stones. You'll find out right quick. Imagine a fully armed soldier. He has his sword, he has his shield, he has his helmet, his breastplate, and his belt. But his feet are completely bare and he's going to battle. Problem gets beyond just looking odd. It's a shoeless soldier who could run into real trouble in the heat of the battle. He has to watch where he's stepping that he doesn't hurt his feet, cause serious pain, and cause him to lose his life. Short shoes allow us to step freely without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle at hand. Amen. Lehman Strauss, you know, you make those blue jeans. He makes a statement about this point. He says the soldier's shoes are not the dancing slippers of this world. They're not the lounging slippers of the slothful, but the shoes of the Christian warrior who knows Christ makes him known. Hallelujah! I am not ashamed, said Paul, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of what it says. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the truth of the gospel. Amen. I stand on the word of God. Hallelujah, day, night, regardless of who it is. I don't care. This word is truth, and I'm going to shod my feet with it so that I can defeat the devil. Amen. Glory. I don't like anything more than putting my boot on the devil's throat. He comes around, hollering, carrying on. We quote to him the word of God, just like Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written." You're putting your boot on the devil's throat, telling him to take a hike. Next item is the shield of faith. I know what time it is. It's exactly 12 o'clock. Hang on to your seat. This plane's about to take off. Shield of faith. Up until now, Paul's description of the armor of God has been limited to items we wear. Put on the belt, the breastplate, the shoes. Essentially hold themselves up. But the shield is different. Paul tells us that the shield is something we must take up. Amen. Something we are required to raise. Just strapping it on the arm won't do any good. You have to be able to lift it up and hold it aloft and use it. How did the shield work in the Roman army? The soldier's shield, the scutum, was not the standard medieval-esque shield that most pictures have in their minds. It is instead a large, slightly curved, rectangular shield featuring at its center a large metal knob called the boss. Oh, this shield was impressive in its defense because of its sheer size. Some 3.5 feet, almost 3 feet wide and 3.5 feet tall. And the soldier was afforded protection from the enemy. He could take that shield and fight off the blows of the enemy. He could ward off the knocking sword that came to him, and he could use that boss, that big knob in the center, to plow into other soldiers and knock them off of their feet. How does faith work for the believer's protection? Psalm 34 and 22, the Lord redeemed the soul of His servant, and none of them that trust, that is, believed or has faith in Him shall be desolate. Amen. You let the devil come around, and as soon as I tell him I believe in Jesus Christ, you let him be fighting. Let him come by with the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and I begin to say to him, devil, I want you to know the Word of God tells me I believe in it. I believe Jesus came. I believe He died for me. I believe that He was buried in the grave. And devil, I believe He came out of the grave on the third day and He ascended into heaven and right now sits at the right hand of God. Hallelujah! Take that on, devil! Hallelujah. Faith puts the devil to flight. That's our shield. We can hide behind it. And when the devil throws it at the darts of doubt, the darts of lust, the darts of temptation, the darts of sickness, the darts of discouragement and depression and defeat, when he throws them at us, we can say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and He will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Amen. That puts the darts of the wicked out. When our faith in God's omnipotence and care is strong, it is impossible for Satan to break through our shield and land an attack upon us. Helmet of salvation. I've got to move on. That took me 5 minutes. Another item that we are to wear protects the head, the brain, the mind of the soldier. The helmet of salvation. The soldier's thinking ability is the most important factor in determining victory or defeat. Salvation is the Christian soldier's head protector. Because the unsaved person's mind is focused on the things of the world, they are worldly minded, therefore they are open to the devil. Salvation gives us the mind of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And that mind protects us from the doubts and the temptations of this old carnal world that we live in. Listen to Paul. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which one do you take?
Life.
Amen. So it means salvation to be saved. That's the reason why it doesn't do you any good just to join the church. That's the reason why you could come every week and put a $100 bill in the plate, and that still won't save you and keep you from the devil. Amen. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to have the blood applied to your life. I remember my grandmother. She lived with a demon-possessed man for a while, was married to him, didn't realize that he was already married and never divorced. She had to get an annulment right here in Hagerstown. But this man was demon-possessed. The devils would come against her. She could actually feel them. She's actually seen them. They would come against her, raging against her. And she was uneducated, never read the Bible, couldn't read or write. But she had heard the blood preached, the blood of Jesus. And when you're saved, the blood of Christ covers you. And she'd say to those old demons, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And she'd watch them go out of her house and take their hands off of her. Hallelujah. When you're saved, there's an old song we used to sing, I'm saved and to know that I am, I'm saved and to know that I am, I'm saved. How many know you're saved? You know that you know that you know that you know. There's no doubt about it. Hallelujah. And when you're saved and the old devil comes around, you can say, I'm saved. I have the blood of Christ applied to my life. I'm protected. My mind and my head is protected by the blood of Jesus. Last of all, the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Glory. Never go to battle without a weapon. The weapon of defense is the fighting. In fighting the devil is the use of the Word of God. Remember, Jesus used it. I made reference to it here a while ago. When the devil came against him in the wilderness, he quoted what? The Word of God. He quoted what the Bible had to say. He came against the devil with God's Word. Amen. The Christian soldier must be able to use this weapon to protect and defend themselves. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:11, Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, O God. Hallelujah. It's important to get this Word in your mind. Where's your Bible at home? Does it have any dust on it? Huh? I've been using this one since, let me see, 1972, December the 25th. Got tape on the inside. It's coming apart there. But I'm still using it. Praise the Lord. It's still God's Word. But I've got a bunch of it in here. Hallelujah. When the old devil comes around, glory. There's nothing like giving him the Word of God. Hallelujah. I like it when he comes around. He says, oh, look at that pretty girl. And I say, yeah, and she's something. Do you know God made her? You lousy scoundrel. You're trying to make something out of her that God didn't make. Amen. Greater is he, I say to the devil, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And devil, guess who's in the world? You. Glory. Bye. We've got to carry this Word. I know you can't carry a big Bible around with you 24/7. Somebody would say you went off your rocker. So let it be. But you can carry it in your heart. You can carry it in your soul. You can get it deep down inside of you. And oh, that's all you need. Jesus, believe it or not, in the wilderness, He did not have a King James Version of the Bible. How about that? I used to know a gentleman, if you didn't have the old King James Version, you done backslid. And he was absolutely astounded to learn that Paul didn't have a King James Version of the Bible. But Jesus had enough of the Word from the Old Testament that he could put the devil to flight. Do you have his Word within you? Take up the sword. Who wants to be dressed properly to do battle with the enemy? Huh? Stand up. You want to be dressed properly? You can't be half dressed. Or you only put on what you want. If you're not going to put on righteousness, forget it. If you're not going to be righteous, then you might as well leave and go out the door. Because you're not going to make it. You got to put the belt on the truth. You've got to be hidden with truth. You've got to be girt about with truth. You have to have righteousness. Amen. You have to be saved and have the helmet of salvation. You have to have faith and believe in God. You're in battle and you've got to have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God in your hand. If you're not ready to get fully dressed, then forget all about it. It's all or nothing. You can't take the shield of faith without the breastplate of righteousness. You have to be fully dressed to do battle. Otherwise, you will be defeated and become a casualty by the roadside of life. Are you ready for battle?